Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
1205 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. 615-737-9986. 615-737-WWTN. Well, Diane Black running, of course, for governor. May Beavers, you know, the left has done May Beavers a favor. And I don't know if she understands the favor that the left has given to her. Now, for the record, I like May Beavers. We're going to talk about that coming up here on the program as well. But I would say that right now, one of the biggest stories that is going on is President Trump just releasing now his opinion, this bill to slash legal immigration levels. Now, this is really fascinating. And interesting this came up today because I saw a video last night that absolutely enraged me. And it was a video from Texas. There was some news story out in Texas. And they were talking about this woman. I'm not even sure what the story was about, frankly, because I watch a lot of news. But the thing that struck me was that here is a woman who has been here for 7 years. And so the news goes out and interviews this woman because she's been here for 7 years and something horrible happened to her. And you know what struck me about the story? Wasn't that this woman had something happen to her, and I don't know exactly what it was because I didn't really care. But what struck me was the fact that after 7 years, she still has to use an interpreter to speak to the news crews. So she's been here for 7 years, and forgive me for sounding like, you know, some get-off-my-lawn guy, and I know this is almost trite to say at this point, but I think it is a very valid thing to say, which is, you've been here, lady, for 7 years. How is it possible you don't speak a lick of English? And I realize that it's almost a pedantic thing to say at this point. But again, you wonder why it is that with President Trump, this is a guy who ran a political campaign for President of the United States on three words, build the wall. And so I think that with the president backing up this bill to slash legal immigration levels, I think one of the things that the president is doing, and although I don't know if a lot of people are going to really understand this because liberal heads are going to explode all across America, but what he's really trying to do is protect Americans and also protect the legal immigrants that are already here. So let's play a little bit of audio from President Trump and this bill that he is supporting, and then I'm going to go into my own thoughts on what it is that the president wants to do. But he is endorsing legislation that will indeed limit legal immigration.
The RAISE Act will reduce poverty, increase wages, and save taxpayers billions and billions of dollars. It will do this by changing the way the United States issues green cards to nationals from other countries.
Yeah, and one of the things that they want to do is they want to look at almost like a points system. And he talks about the current immigration system and its flaws.
This policy has placed substantial pressure on American workers, taxpayers, and community resources. Among those hit the hardest in recent years have been immigrants and, very importantly, minority workers competing for jobs against brand new arrivals.
Right.
And it has not been fair to our people, to our citizens, to our workers.
So I love this, and you're going to hear it straight from the president. He talks about a points-based system.
The RAISE Act ends chain migration and replaces our low-skilled system with a new points-based system for receiving a green card.
Okay, so what is it that these legal immigrants, if they want to come into this country, what is it that they have to be able to do to, I guess, earn points? And this just came out about an hour ago, so I don't have all the details on this. But what they're going to do is they're going to consider such factors as English ability, education levels, and job skills. Now, the reason I think this is so important is because, of course, it's almost like a narrative conversation, right? What struck me about that news story last night when I was watching it online? It was the fact that the woman had been here for 7 years and she didn't speak a lick of English. And so as an American and as a guy who appreciates immigration, This is a woman who has been here for a long time, and certainly she's had the ability and the time to learn the language. Now, I do understand we don't have an official language in this country. I know all that. Trust me when I say I grew up in Los Angeles. I know all the different arguments. But my question would be this. If you don't know the language that the majority of Americans speak, then how do you possibly be able to, how would you be able to contribute to this great nation? Now, I do understand they can contribute, but they'd be able to contribute more and better and faster if they spoke English. And you can send me all of the arguments you want to send me about, oh, well, there's, you know, whatever, 50, 60, 70, hundreds of languages that is spoken in America. Yeah, I do understand that. I really do. But English is the primary language, like it or not. So when the president says we want them, if they're going to come into this country, we want them to be able to contribute quickly. How do you contribute quickly? Well, by learning the language, knowing the language already, your education levels, and also your job skills. In other words, bring us your best and your brightest. Bring us people that, yes, can contribute to our economy. Bring us people that can contribute to the melting pot that is America. See, it seems to me like when the president says that he wants to cut legal immigration by, what is it, about half? What he's essentially saying is that we want the best. We don't want all immigrants. We want the best immigrants. Why is that so bad? I've always wondered that. Why is it so bad to have expectations placed on the people that come into our country? You know, I read something a while back, and it was that some of these immigrants that come into this country, they are on some sort of a welfare benefit within, what, 6 months or a year, something like that? I should have looked it up before I came on the air, but again, this story just came out. But that is a fact. That when people come into this country, they don't speak English, they have low education levels and minimal, if any, job skills, then what can they contribute? And the other thing that I would say is, when you look at the folks that come into this country, is there a willingness to contribute? Is there a willingness to learn? Now, this is modeled apparently after immigration programs in Canada and Australia. So I think this is something that is a good thing for the president, a number of different reasons why. We, of course, know what happened with Obamacare and whether or not that conversation is dead or not. Just, I guess, depends on what the Senate ultimately ends up doing. So now this is another opportunity for the president to try to carry out some semblance of a campaign promise. To achieve the reductions and create what they call a merit-based system, what they're going to do is they're going to take aim at green cards for extended family members of U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents, limiting such avenues for grown children and siblings. Minor children and spouses would still be eligible to apply for green cards. So, in other words, they're sort of limiting the pool of family members that can come into this country from folks that are already here. But for me, I think one of the things that they're going to probably focus on is the fact that they're trying to implement this awards-based system. See, I think this is a very good thing. I really do. Tom Cotton is one of the senators that's involved in this. He says that while immigrant rights groups might view the current system as a, quote, symbol of American virtue and generosity, he sees it as, quote, a symbol we're not committed to working-class Americans. And we need to change that. See, he's absolutely right. And President Trump, in one of the sound bites I just played, even he said that under our current immigration laws, or lack of enforcing of current immigration laws, you got immigrants that are in this country, have taken the time to learn the language and do everything they need to do legally. And so then you have these folks that are new coming into this country, and they don't speak the language, and they don't have a lot of job skills, educational skills, you name it. But what they are doing is they're undercutting the people that have taken the time to fit into and accept our culture and learn the language and everything else. And so you end up with these legal immigrants who are battling newer immigrants for work. And so basically, it seems to me what the president is trying to do is he's trying to just shut off the faucet. Now, he's already succeeded in that in a couple of different ways, of course. One, we know that Jeff Sessions and President Trump, they've been talking tough on immigration for, you know, it's been over a year, right? Year and a half since President Trump hit the campaign trail. And so we know that immigration levels right now already are at a lower level, people trying to cross the southern border. That is a good thing. Here's the question, though, and I think it's deja vu all over again. Will it pass? Now, this is from The Washington Times. The bill's prospects are dim in the Senate, where Republicans hold a narrow, as we all know, a narrow majority and would have difficulty getting 60 votes to prevent a filibuster. The legislation is expected to face fierce resistance from congressional Democrats, of course, and immigrant rights groups, and, of course, opposition from business leaders and some moderate Republicans in states with large immigrant populations. In the news today is two, right? We got Jeff Flake and John McCain, both in the news today. And they're both from Arizona, a state with a large immigrant population. So do you think Jeff Flake and John McCain, you think they're going to vote for this legislation? Of course not. I mean, we know John McCain won't. One critic says this is just a fundamental restructuring. All right, so this is a guy that hates what they want to do. But listen to the fact that the guy has clearly an open mind. Listen to the fact that this is probably, and when I read you his quote, you'll see what I see, which is this is probably somebody who thinks that Republicans are all about, you know, privilege. Because that's what the left always seems to go back to is privilege. Whether it's white male privilege or male privilege or Christian privilege, you name it. And that's where this next statement comes from this critic. Guy's name, by the way, is Kevin Appleby, the senior director of International Migration Study for the Center of Migration Studies, and they study migration policy. This is just a fundamental restructuring of our immigration system, which has huge implications for the future. Yes, Kevin, I would agree. It does. Good implications for our future. Why is it so bad to want people to want to come into our country legally? Why is it so bad to want them to have some sort of a command of the English language or be further along from an educational standpoint and maybe have some job skills? I don't understand what's wrong with that. What is wrong with wanting some folks to have some qualifications? I mean, listen, you apply for a job. Think about it this way, right? You apply for a job. What do they look at? Somebody comes in and they apply for a job. You listen to them during the job interview and you assess their command of the English language. If somebody comes in and they can barely string two words together, well, this is not necessarily somebody who is going to represent my company well. So if their English skills aren't the greatest, maybe your particular job is not the one for that particular person. Education levels. Well, listen. If you run a business and you're looking for somebody with maybe a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, well, then somebody who doesn't have a master's degree or a bachelor's degree or whatever it is need not apply because that is a requirement that you have to fulfill that job. And of course, speaking the obvious, job skills. So when we are interviewing people for jobs here in America, we place certain requirements on those people that we hire. Why can't we do the same thing with our immigration policies? So yeah, this guy, this critic, says this is part of a broader strategy by this administration. You always know it's going to be a negative thing when they refer to the Trump administration as, quote unquote, this administration. This is part of a broader strategy by this administration to rid the country of low-skilled immigrants they don't favor in favor of immigrants in their own image. And again, I will ask the question that a lot of people, I think, should be asking when we start seeing all of this hysteria from the left and from the activists when it comes time to debate this particular idea, is what do we want for this country? Do we want the best in this country? Do we want the best for this country? I say yes. And I'm a guy who, and maybe you know my history, maybe you don't, but I am somebody who came from California. I'm somebody who has seen firsthand what illegal immigration can do to a community or to a state. Speaking of which, last night on Tucker Carlson, and I'm a fan of Tucker Carlson, very much so, he had a guy on. Have you heard of CalExit? Basically what California wants to do, I guess, and they're signing petitions and all this nonsense, is California wants to leave the United States. Basically, they want to not be part of America anymore, and they want to, I guess, become their own country. So Tucker Carlson last night had a guy on that supports this idea, and he is an activist. Now, I know there's a lot of people, yours truly, that have been saying all along, you know what? California, as somebody who comes from California, born and raised, lived there for my entire, most of my entire childhood and for a good part of my adult life, if California wants to build a wall around the entire state, especially Northern California, knock yourselves out. But wait till you hear some of this audio from last night's Tucker Carlson, and it'll give you some of the mindset of some of the activists out there, and they're frothing at the mouth, but nonsensical thoughts on CalExit and immigration and illegal immigration, generally speaking. Especially one of the comments where the guy basically says, and I can't wait to play this for you, where he basically says, and Tucker points out, you know that people that make $100,000, $200,000 a year are literally leaving your country or leaving your state, could be a country, because of the problems with immigration. His answer to that question will stun you because it stunned even me. And that is coming up next here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
Pamela Furr, two U.S. service members have been killed in Afghanistan, and three Tennessee district attorneys believe some clinics are making the opioid crisis worse. These stories and more are coming up at 12:30 on WTN.
Thank you, Pamela.
You're
12:27 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I want to thank Barbara for holding on through the break, and we're talking about this bill that President Trump is endorsing to slash legal immigration in America. Barbara, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
I just want to address quickly the point that you were reading about the lady who's been here for 7 years and doesn't speak English. And I'm telling you, that's balderdash from personal experience. Anybody who's been here for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 20 years has to speak the language because they cannot do business in the private sector. You can't go shopping. You can't do banking. You can't do any of the daily things that are required in order to function in life without learning the language. I speak from experience. I spent 4 years in Germany, and believe me, at the time I was there, they did not have forms written in other languages. If you went to get a phone, you filled out a form that was in German. You learned to read German. If you were dealing with a business person, you learned to speak the language because you needed to learn it in order to function function there responsibly.
I know, but Barbara, the problem here in America, respectfully, is that we don't encourage people to learn English. We have forms that are in multiple languages. And I would also say this, is that when you immerse yourself not in the culture of English-speaking America, but when you immerse yourself in, say, for example, the example that I used in the first segment, where you immerse yourself into a culture that does not speak English and you're immersing yourself in a culture that speaks only Spanish or whatever it is, then that's the problem, is that we have these enclaves all across America where you've got Koreatown or you've got neighborhoods that are mostly Hispanic or has a lot of, I don't know, Muslims. But I mean, you know what I'm saying. In other words, there are enclaves of various cultures all throughout America. And so when you are surrounded by people that are speaking that same language, for example, Spanish. So in other words, if all your neighbors are speaking Spanish and, you know, you're not required because of all the people around you also speak Spanish and your kids speak both, say, for example, Spanish and English, then no, you don't have to learn how to speak English. You simply don't. And I know because I grew up in Southern California. I knew people for 20 years who had been in California, and the problem was that they were in these neighborhoods that simply did not have a lot of English speakers, and everybody around them also spoke Spanish, and so it didn't matter. Now, their kids would speak enough English so that they could help their parents who spoke no English at all. So it's all about an attitude. I've never been to Germany, so I don't know what their attitude is towards folks who don't speak the language there, but I know here there are activist groups that very much encourage people not to learn the language. They very, very much encourage people to embrace their own culture as opposed to embracing their new culture. And I find it sad. 1230 on WTN. 1238 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I will get to this Tucker Carlson audio with this guy who is all for CalExit. And it'll tell you all you need to know about the mentality of the left. But I do want to check in with Katie. Katie, appreciate you hanging on for me. Go ahead.
Going to say in response to the lady who never learned any English, in this state, I work for the state, and we have free interpreter services in our agency, many state agencies, for every language under the sun. And you don't even have to be a citizen to get so many perks. And secondly, if you don't try to learn the language, it tells me it sounds like you don't really want to assimilate at all.
Sure, there is an unwillingness, and I appreciate the call. Yeah, there is, and she's absolutely right. If you don't learn English when you come here, and one of the things that President Trump wants to do in this whole merit-based system of accepting immigrants into this country is English ability. So they're going to look at English ability, education levels, and job skills as they decide who will come into this country legally. Again, remember, this is a move to slash legal immigration. So you want to come into this country, you've got to know the English language, and you've got to have good education levels, and you've also got to have some semblance of job skills. It's all about, at least to me, it seems like it's all about what can you contribute to the American way. Now, Tucker Carlson, I don't know how much you've been paying attention to this whole CalExit thing, but apparently now California wants to become their own nation. They want to break away from the United States, and they want to become their own country. And so Tucker Carlson has a guy on by the name of Shankir Sinem. And here's how the conversation went. And again, remember, this guy is an activist. He is all for California breaking into its own nation status, if you will.
If California becomes its own country, do you plan to give citizenship to the illegals within your borders? And do you intend to have a border policy as a country?
Yeah, certainly. Certainly, we're going to have a border policy. If you're a nation, you need your borders. Citizenship to illegal.
I would be willing to bet that, and I'm going to keep playing you some of this audio, but I would be willing to bet that California's new border policy would be anybody who is a Republican is not allowed into California, the nation of California. And by the way, if you're a self-respecting Republican and you live in California and you appreciate immigration laws being enforced, you could probably just get out.
Definitely a pathway to citizenship that's much quicker than what the United States has right now. Definitely, you know, we want them, they're already working, we want them working without that stress. They're a key and integral part to California. We really need them to, they're the backbone of our economy, or the fifth largest economy, and they are really a big part of it. And so we want them to, be comfortable here and have a good path to citizenship.
Right, and he also talked about people who are leaving California.
My final question is, you've so mismanaged your little country or state or whatever we're calling it now,
right,
economically.
Yeah.
There's been a massive exodus of middle-class Californians to neighboring states.
And listen, I was in California, as again, born and raised in California. I spent my entire childhood, for the most part, and most of my, well, earlier now, but a lot of my adult life in California. And I was one of those people that Tucker Carlson is talking about. I was so disgusted with California. And every time I go back to California to visit what little family I have left, I'm even more disgusted by what it has become even since I left. And so, yeah, I was one of those people that, frankly, was making a lot of money. But then I realized that this is no place where I want to live. This is no place where I want to raise my kids. And so I decided that I was going to cash out on my home and go live in Texas, where I had no job. Yeah, so I was making a really good living. Then I said, screw it, I'm out of here. Go to Texas because there is a much better quality of life in Texas. This is how strongly I feel about the ramifications of illegal immigration in this country.
Well, I mean, the numbers are there. I mean, you've lost hundreds of thousands of people making between $100,000 and $200,000 over the past 10 years, and they've enriched Idaho and Montana,
Texas,
and even Wyoming and Washington State. Like, if it's such a well-run place, why is the middle class leaving?
So, Tucker, you have to look at the bigger picture here. So, fifth largest economy in the world. Now, if you have to repeat that, say it again. We are the fifth largest economy in the world.
Yeah,
you want to call
third,
that mismanaged,
third time,
fine.
My God. No, basically the economy of Mexico. You've got a small number of rich people, the tech people, and you've got a ton of poor people, and mm-hmm. the middle class is leaving. Like, that's right. A recipe for instability. You're aware of that, right?
In regards to middle class leaving, that's actually a good thing. We need these spots opened up for the new wave of immigrants to come up. It's what we do. We're exporting our middle class to the United States. You guys should be thanking us for that.
Did you hear what he said? I want to make sure you understood that. He said it's a good thing that the middle class are leaving, exporting the middle class to make room for more, or as he says, the next wave of illegal immigrants. Really? Is that really what you want to say? It is rather shocking, and sometimes I'm rather speechless, which is terrible for a talk show host, but how do you even respond to that lunacy?
You're using the words they and you. It sounds like you already don't think that you're part of the United States.
Well, this is California, Tucker.
Oh, my gosh. Like, California is such a great place. I mean, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. And I've been honest with you since I arrived in Nashville some 3.5 years ago. Don't hold the fact that I'm from California against me. Because long ago, I wrote off California. I'm like a guy without a home, a state, if you will. You know, people say, well, where do you call home? Well, Nashville is my home. But when people talk about, oh, I can't wait to go back home, I don't feel like that at all. And when what's left of the small family that I have there in California is gone, more than likely, I will never go back. Part of that is because of this guy's attitude here. Because if you think this guy, this Shankir Sinem, and his attitudes are unique, and Tucker has this guy on just because he's a moron who has these outlandish opinions that is going to make the left and the liberals and the activists look stupid and bad, well, no. This guy's attitude is something that is all across California. This is a very common attitude. So if you're surprised by this, well, you shouldn't be.
We're not the United States. We have our values are different.
Yes. Yes. Your values are very, very different from the rest of the United States. That, my friend, not so much. That is absolutely true.
We're fundamentally different in the way we act, we speak, and how we think about the world.
Yes, you are fundamentally different in the way that you act and in the way that you know, listen, California, in the last couple of days now, right? Although this has been a constant storyline where in California, they want to make it essentially a sanctuary state. So yeah, this guy and activists and liberals like him, what is it that they want to do? They want to welcome as much illegal immigration as possible. This guy wants to export the middle class. And it's terrible. It's terrible for the God-fearing conservatives that, for whatever reason, have not yet fled California.
Globally, whether it has to do with war, the climate, environment, we are just a different state. And I know you can understand it, you being from California, and I'm not sure how long you haven't been here yet, but we're going to do things that are going to be beneficial for our state, and we disregard what the United States thinks or even their laws. For example, our marijuana, sanctuary cities, if it's good for the state, we're going to do it, regardless of what the federal law is.
Yeah, so this is basically California extending a nice middle finger to the Trump administration.
What about all the federal land in California, the military bases in California? Those don't belong to the state. Do you pay market value for those?
So, yeah, the military bases we'd lease out just like Germany does and South Korea does. Pay a yearly fee to California. And as far as the federal land, you know...
Hold on. So I'm sorry to interrupt. So you would have foreign troops on your soil, Camp Pendleton. You'd have thousands of Marines from another country in the middle of your country. Why would you do that?
Well, the United States does that to every other country on the planet.
So clearly this guy is an America hater. And again, that attitude is prevalent throughout California.
And
liberal land.
When we're invited in or we beat them in the Second World War, yeah, we do that. But why would California do that?
In Japan and in Korea. You're here already. The United States military bases are here. Keep them here. If they want a slow withdrawal, they can slowly take their troops back. It's their bases back. But I have no problem with the United States.
And one of the things that I really like about Tucker Carlson is his very genuine reaction when he has morons on the radio, on the television like this.
I've never met you. I've never heard of you. I don't know if this is like a parody segment. You're punking me or you're really high and you're just telling the truth because high people do.
Yeah.
But you just said you're happy to be exporting the middle class of your state. Now, I happen to think that your policymakers are happy that they're leaving. But the fact that you're admitting this on live TV, bottom line, are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm only admitting the truth. There's a middle class of people that are leaving California and they're going to Oregon and Colorado and Texas.
Actually, no, they're I don't know. I don't know if they're going to Oregon. I know they're going to Colorado. I actually know that they're coming here to Nashville, Tennessee as well. And yes, to Texas.
Yes, there is.
And you're happy about
that? I don't know how. Well, I mean, if they want to move, there's nothing for me to stop them. I mean, I'm sure they'll find out how boring it is and they'll come back.
I don't know, but if they choose
to live out there, they can live out there.
Can I tell you?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. So can I tell you what's boring? Boring is sitting on the 405 freeway for 2.5 hours trying to get to and from work every single day. That is boring. So when you listen to what that guy had to say, and you listen to the absolute arrogance and the dismissive nature of this guy saying, oh, you know what? You want to leave, you people that are only making $100,000, $200,000 a year, but you want to leave California because of the fact that they have absolutely no respect for our immigration laws, and you've got all of these problems with gangs, you have all these problems with crappy schools, the state is bankrupt, you've got all of these different problems. You've got emergency rooms that are closing. I mean, I don't even know. There's so many problems that are literally embedded in the DNA of California. And so when you listen to this guy speak, knowing all of the problems that this state has, I repeat, you know what? If you want to build a wall around California and just have a door that swings out so that people can leave, then by all means, that's fine by me, because most people who are contributors will want to leave California if they ultimately do this, at least conservatives. Now, there are some people like this guy who simply don't understand that there are people in California who are the middle class and others, say business leaders and so forth, who are sick and tired of the business climate and the high taxes in California. At the porn industry, for example, and the movie industry, both have left California because of the fact that there is a crap ton of taxes. And so it's very, very difficult for businesses to thrive in California for many different reasons. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. 1252 on WTN.
I'm Pamela Furr. Two people are unaccounted for in an explosion in Minneapolis. And guess who's running for governor?
Oh, gosh.
it really is the worst kept secret, because everybody knew she was going to run. And I have no disrespect for her, but
I was interviewing her, right? I asked her was it a week ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Sorry.
Yeah, and she said she would make that decision after she got her job done on the committee in Congress. She also says that she is not stepping down from that committee as she runs for governor.
Okay.
Very good. I'll have all that at one.
Now, you remember earlier, Pamela, we were talking about constipation, and Trevor...
No, you were talking about it.
Trevor has posted on the Dan Mandy Show Facebook page, he himself was constipated this morning, and then he heard that Diane Black was running for governor. That's what Trevor said.
I can't participate in this. I'm biased.
You are no fun.
Just...
Thank you, pal. At least somebody helps me out. Let's see. Andy says on the Dan Mandy Show Facebook page, California leaving, Cal exit, cool. No more votes coming from them anymore. Republicans will win. Man, Trump is still winning. That's a great point. You know, let's not forget that Hillary won California and certainly the popular vote she won in California. So can you imagine Maxine Waters then would be, oh, my God. I think I've got it. Here's why California needs to become its own country. Because then Maxine Waters would have to get some sort of a visa to come out of California. We could cancel her visa. And every time she comes to Washington, D.C., we can deport her back to California. No? Crickets? Really? I think that's a great idea.
I could go for it. I'll back you up on that.
See, I was going to say, thank you, Val. Pamela's gone dark on me. All right, fine.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You don't want to play?
Were you
That's
talking
fine.
To me? I'm sorry.
I was. I said we could deport Maxine Waters back to California every time she tries to come to Washington, D.C., or every time she wants to leave California. Nancy Pelosi.
I can't participate in this.
We could deport Nancy Pelosi every time she wants to come out of California. We could just revoke her visa.
I'm all right.
Nancy Pelosi would become an illegal alien. And she already is kind of alien to me anyway. Whatever, let's move on. It's 1258. I was trying to make something happen, and I guess I just couldn't. It's 1258.
No, it was nice. It was great. You don't have to have me to give
Talk,
you
99.7 WTN.
Confirmation, do you?
Actually, no, I don't. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That last segment was darn funny. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, goodbye. News is next, and then May Beavers should be thanking the Democratic Party. That and more coming up next.